Joshua 24, 15. Just a little history. Those of you who remember where this is coming out of, they've gone through the wilderness. Everything's been a struggle for a long time. Now Joshua is sort of telling folks, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's choices. A lot of our life is choices. And I'm going to rely on a few outside sources to help emphasize this today, and one of them is a pop singer, and one of them is a Templar knight, one of them is a politician, if you can trust that, and one of them is a late night talk show host. So that should kind of cover the gamut of life that we have about us. But choices, and perhaps you save this to the end, but I hope to emphasize to all of us that God is there no matter what choice we make. Okay? That, in a sense, I grew up grandparents on one side, loved God, but they didn't really care too much. And then the other side was a grandmother that was Baptist. And so I learned about the straight and narrow. Very narrow, very straight, okay? And so I was kind of caught up as a young person that we're just going to call this my straight and narrow, that the minute that I deviated, there was a chance that I was going to get a lightning bolt, and then that was going to be the end of me. So I was very cautious about the straight and narrow. But from this scripture, I want us to realize it says, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. So the way I'm looking at it now, that some people say, well, it's all preordained. God knows. I think God knows every move that I'm going to make. I really do. And I think he knows when I'm going to do the straight and narrow and when I'm going to perhaps deviate. How can that be? Very simplistic, but I think true, is that God's the ultimate chess master. I mean, I sat down with a guy one time and I moved and he said, oh, I gotcha. I made one move, but he had already seen what could happen out of all these things, all these possibilities. And I think God has that. So if I wake up in the morning and I have a perfect plan, I think God has a perfect plan for us too. Don't get me wrong. But if I get up in the morning and I hit the snooze alarm, then perhaps I'm a little bit off the path. Because I should have gotten up right then, but I didn't, and proceeded on with it. But, and that's not a life-changing choice, really. It's not a major sin that I know of. And so I'm off the path. And then I hit the snooze alarm again. Whoa, well, this looks like a way to go. But because I hit the snooze alarm two times, the toast has burnt downstairs, and my wife is a little bit upset that she had breakfast ready, and so that adds a whole new dynamic to the day, doesn't it? So I am here, I should be there, and I think God would have a way to say, Arlen, and he'll get me back here. And I might be circuitous, too, because it could be that I'm this far over, going down the wrong way, and then it said, oh, that looks pretty good, and get way over here and say, whoa, well, maybe if I back up, I can get there by myself, but no, that's blocked. Hopefully you see what I'm saying, that no matter what I do, I can, through prayer, through fellowship, through forgiveness, through a lot of things, I can get back here. God wants me here. I'll get along a lot better here, but I'm making choices. You and I make choices. And some of them are just selfish. Some of them are to look out for other people. Some of them are to keep ourselves looking busy in the life of the church. But I think sometimes, in when we're trying so hard to do this, we're trying to please people and the church, we get over here. How can that be? How can I get off the path if I'm doing the work of the Lord? No, because I'm doing it to please these people. And God really wanted me here visiting perhaps some unchurched person. It's choices. What are we going to do with our choices? Sometimes are inconsequential, like I say, important. Clothing. You chose to wear what you were going to wear today. I chose what I was going to wear today. You ever, and maybe this is more of the male persuasion, have you ever put on clothes and you've gone downstairs and the words are, why did you choose that? I'm not alone. That's happened. Okay. See, it was so wonderful for a few years, about 1.5 years, I worked in the hardware store. And I got up every day, and it was a brown shirt and brown pants. You cannot believe the peace of mind walking downstairs and knowing, that's what I'm wearing. It's okay. But I'll let you know that today I woke up and I chose a Stafford shirt. Yes. You know why? It was the first shirt in line. And Gene will ask me that on occasion. Why are you wearing that? I don't know. It was the first one in line. And she says, well, why don't you wear something else? Well, if you put it first in line, I'll probably wear that. You know, Chip, you can use this or not, but he knows it, that for a while in high school, he was probably one of the cool guys. What's the word? I'm behind. But he was one of the it guys because he wore Tommy Hilfiger, if that's even a thing anymore, American Eagle, and all these things. People say, wow, look at you. You know, yeah. Little did they know that he had gotten them all from Goodwill. But it was a choice. Let somebody else pay that stuff, and they turn it in, and then I wear it, and everybody thinks I'm cool. Cool. Choices. You know, when it comes to desserts, you want lemon pie or you just want hot fudge on your ice cream? You do both. Why suffer through the choice of that? You've got a well-balanced meal, one in each hand, if you've got both. Wore a tie today because it usually helps me remember what I'm about. And there's a famous old hymn, blessed be the tie that binds. Folks, we're facing some difficult choices these days. We're going to have an election coming up. And we're probably not even all going to vote the same. Don't have to. But I want us to choose this day whom we will serve. But the world is watching. and watching closely about what the Christian community is going to do. And that's where I come to the late night talk show host, Stephen Colbert. Some of you know Stephen Colbert. I bring you this quote from him, and perhaps you've heard this, perhaps not, but he did this in his televised program. And Stephen Colbert is a professed Christian himself. He says, if this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. I'm going to read that again. If this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. And we can say, I didn't know I was in that conversation. I took a logic class, and this is a false choice. A false choice is like asking someone, have you stopped beating your wife yet? Yes. Well, no. And with this political campaign upon us, if you care about your future, you will vote for me. You mean if I don't vote for you, I don't care about my... That's a false choice. And some of you may say this is a false choice, but at least consider it as a choice. That as the world watches us, they're going to say either the Christian nation had a selfish, self-centered leader in Jesus, or if we don't do it, we don't care. Do we not care? Is that the choice that we're showing to others? Well, I'm not part of that. I don't have anything to do with that. Well, that's where I go to my second expert, in a sense, pop singer, theologian, according to some, Bob Dylan. Some of you know Bob Dylan. In one of his more famous songs, For Me, he said, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you are going to serve. Well, I'm not. I'm from the Midwest. I'm an Iowan. I'm very independent. I don't serve anybody. You're going to serve somebody. Through the eyes of the world around me, they're going to say, Arlen is attempting to serve the Lord or he is not. And I'm, by choice, showing my true colors of who I am. We have to ask ourselves, what are we showing? What are we choosing? What are our actions showing the rest of the world about the body of Christ? Which brings me to a third person. And this person will be familiar to more than some. On a personal level, you will perhaps know the name, but Robert D. Ray, our governor for many years here in Iowa. And this is from quite some time back, when the Tidom folks or the Laotian folks, you know, we were dealing with immigration, and he had gone over and checked out things in that area. He got to fly over and check out the situation. And he came back and he said, we're talking not where these people are going to live, but whether they are going to live. See, Robert Ray played on Missouri's nickname. He was speaking at a conference in Missouri. He says, as we meet here tonight in Missouri, the Show Me State, I sincerely believe that Jesus is saying to our church, don't tell me of your concerns for the poor. the disenfranchised, the underprivileged, the unemployed? Show me. Don't tell me of your concerns for the rejected, the prisoner, the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless. Show me. Don't tell me of your concerns for these people. You have a chance. I have a chance to save their lives. Show me. It's a choice. It's a very hard choice, I think, because we give in to fear. I do. Perhaps you do. I would think, since we're both or all in the category of humans, that we... What will people say? What will they say if I do that? And Jesus is saying, go. I don't care. Go. And so, you and I are instructed to go. And I don't know what that mission is for you. I really don't. And I'm not to throw something on you that isn't you. You need to be in contact, in fellowship with the Lord, find out what it is that you need to do. But when he gives that to you, thank you very much. No, thank you. I've got other things to do. If we're going to approach God and ask him, what do you want us to do? We should come with the attitude that we have no choice. If I'm approaching the Lord, the God Almighty, I don't get to say, nah. So, it's a choice. Do I approach God or not? Will you approach God or not? A lot of us are like this, and perhaps you've heard this before. I'll be repetitive for some that have heard it. But it's from Wilbur Ries. It's called $3 Worth of God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Ooh, not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. Just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a person of a different race or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. I've been there. I might still be there sometimes. But is that what we want? Is that what God wants? God wanted people that would stand there and say, I don't know about the rest of you. Serve whomever you want. But this day, I choose to serve the Lord. It shouldn't make any difference what others are doing. Trust me, I know what it is to be swept up in a crowd and do things that, how did I do that? And perhaps I've shared the story, but not with all of you, that I was a dorm counselor at William Penn. Catch that? Dorm counselor, floor counselor. And one night on a weekend, one person went to another person's door, knocked on it, and threw a cup of water at him. This is not a highly unlikely event in a guy's dorm, but it escalated so that that one cup of water became cups of water, became empty wastebaskets full of water, became whatever you can find full of water. And did you catch it? I was the floor counselor. Anyway, so it was just loads of fun. there was water, if you can imagine, you know, Watson Hall, there was water cascading down the steps. And so I thought, hey, I used to be on this other floor when I was a freshman, maybe, and I crawled up, kind of went the back stairways because all the function was up front. And I got up the back stairs and I walked through, Arlen? And I said, yeah, I'm one of you guys. And I had my waste paper basket full of water. And I said, I'm going to get him in. And I got to the other side and I turned around and went, and went down the stairs. Folks, I don't know how long it took for all that water to get gone. But there was kind of a lingering, musty smell, you know, for a long time. So there are times when I have, what's everybody else doing? I know it ain't right, but what's everybody else doing? And whatever it is that is distracting you, I pray that that distraction diminishes to the point where you make the right choice. The last expert that I'm going to use for choice today is a Templar knight. Maybe some of you know where this is going, but in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, they're seeking for the chalice, the cup, and they're looking for it, and finally they get there. But it's not only the good guys looking for this, but there's also the bad guys looking for this. And so the bad guys are kind of in control of the situation at this point, and they're forcing Indiana Jones to figure out these different puzzles and things to get in there. But he finally gets into this last little sacred enclave, and there is a Templar knight, and they believe that the chalice, the grail, has healing powers in it. And this guy, you know, looks a little older than I am. And he's there, and he's been there for hundreds of years. But having drunk from this chalice, he's been able to stay alive. And they get in there, and then the Germans come in, bad guys come in. And the Templar knight says, yes, one of these is the Holy Grail. But you have to choose. So this German official, he looks at them all and he says, that's the one. It's bejeweled. It's gold. It's magnificently shaped. This is the cup that the King of Kings would have. And he grabs it and he dips into this eternal water and he drinks it and he disintegrates, basically. Well, Indiana Jones is trying to save his father, who's been mortally wounded, and so he wants to get this as well. And so he looks out over this, and the Templar Knight says, choose wisely. And so he goes, and he looks, and he sees a wooden cup. Simple. Bare, simplistic, and he grabs that and he dips in the water and drinks for himself, and he's okay. So he takes it back to his dad, heals him up, everything's good. But as he's holding that cup, the Templar Knight says, you have chosen wisely. I'm praying for you and for me that we choose wisely. And we can do that, like for the young people, as we watch others choose wisely. We can do that out of fellowship, having others give us clarity on situations. That can come with our own devotions, our own time. But choose wisely. Because too many of us, and again, me included, have chosen unwisely. And I'm going to desecrate a song, a hymn. You ever heard Give of Your Best to the Master? A few of you heard that? Okay. I'll try to have to be on tune then, because you know it. Give second best to the master. Give him the junk you won't use. Or clothes for the kids of the pastor. Give him what you would refuse. Give second best to the master. Things you consider the worst. Don't give money any faster. Just by December 31st. Give second best to the master when you have glory to gain and won't lead to disaster. Give, but don't feel the pain. We say we follow Christ's example. We say we do, but we lie. To set the example we follow, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Give second best to the master, only a bit of your time. Not of pure gold, but of plaster. Plaster was used for the rhyme. We say we follow Christ's example. We say we do, but we lie. To set the example we follow, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Choose this day and understand that, truly understand that if you, like me, choose unwisely at some point, God has a plan to get us back so we can choose wisely. And if you do not choose wisely this day, get up with the confidence of saying, I choose this day to follow the Lord. And God looks at it as a new day. He does not remember any of this as I ask for forgiveness for all of that. We move forward in His truth. God loves you, folks. And He's going to be there to help. And that might be through the eyes and the help of someone very close to you. But God is an ever-present help. Go in peace.